What's going on, guys? I'm Austin Sexton, and you're here with another episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. It's going to be a solo show today. First time that we were trying to do something like this. Casey, Roman, and Brock are all a little busy today. So if you're a Warriors fan, unfortunately, this is going to be more of a Lakers-centric show. I'm going to be previewing the Lakers-Kings game as tonight, 7:30 Western time. It's going to be Carmageddon down there. I'm actually getting ready to go to the game. That's why I wanted to put something up first. So I want to try and leave a little bit earlier to avoid all the crazy traffic, World Series going on. You got to check out the game last night. Freddie Freeman with the walk-off hitter at the very end of the game. Absolutely nuts. I was on Hulu back and forth watching the Lakers game and the Dodgers game. So that was, I'll always remember where I was at when I saw that. And also wanted to talk about what I'm kind of taking away from the team as of this point. Compared to last year. So before we get into it, make sure to subscribe, give us a five-star rating, wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it be Spotify, here on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, make sure to subscribe and give us a good rating. So let's get right into it. The Los Angeles Lakers right now do not feel like the same team from last year. Yeah, we got JJ Redick. Yeah, we don't have Darvin Ham anymore. It's mostly the same players. We added Dalton Connect, but roughly the same group. But what I'm noticing and what I really, really love is there's a different energy there. I genuinely believe that all the players have bought into JJ Redick's system. You could tell that there is a new confidence, a new swagger. There's a belief that they're the team that they were when they went to the Western Conference Finals and that they can contend with anybody. I mean, the first two games, right, out of all the analysts from ESPN, from all the different blogs, podcasts, nobody had the Lakers probably starting off these first two games with wins. I mean, if you're being optimistic, sure, maybe you had them 1-1 at this point. But a lot of people had the Minnesota Timberwolves being a favorite to possibly go to the finals with the addition of Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo, right? And according to a lot of news sources, a lot of outlets that I watch that I receive my sports information from, everybody thinks that Phoenix is another top three, top two contender to go to the finals. And what does Los Angeles do? We come in there and we show them what the we're all about. I haven't had this much excitement watching the Lakers since the 2020 team. Also, something to just take a note of. The last time the Lakers started 2-0 in a LeBron era, we went to a championship. Yes, that's we're overgassing it right now. But still, it's just something kind of funny to take away. I saw that on social media earlier and laughed my ass off because there's always something to... You know, right now as Lakers fans, too, we're probably overreacting a little bit, right? If you're as diehard of a fan as I am and you're checking analytics, you're looking at stats, you're looking at plus minus and all that stuff, your algorithm on social media, whether it be TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, or X, whatever it's called, you're probably riddled with the Lakers are going to make it. I mean, if we think about it, like one of my best friends, Cowboys fan, massive Cowboys fan. And although I'm an Eagles fan, I know for a fact that the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Lakers, we probably have the same love and hatred to the general public. You know what I mean? Everybody thinks that, oh, Lakers fans, you know, they win two games, we're going to win the championship. Cowboys fans, oh, man, we won two in a row, we're going to the Super Bowl. You know, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I understand it's two-game sample size, and if you're listening to this podcast, you should too. However, you can just feel that there is an immediate change in this team. No one's really afraid of taking a shot to the mound if you're playing a game. And I say this because of watching the game last night. Los Angeles, beginning of the second quarter, down 22 points. I don't know if it was the beginning of the second quarter, but I know that we got as low as down 22. By the time that the quarter was done, we went into halftime, we were down 9. LeBron James came in. Beginning of the third, hit a bunch of quick threes. Austin Reeves kind of kept us in it the whole time. AD having monstrous performances. We can't talk enough about Anthony Davis. I wish I had another banner right here. If you're watching the vlog version of this, it's not the same team. It's not the same AD either. Probably a little bit of an overreaction here. I think we need to take away him getting Defensive Player of the Year. Because if he keeps playing like this, there's a damn good chance that he could be most valuable player. MVP. And yes, I know, I got to keep saying it to myself. Two game sample size. But I haven't felt this good in quite a while, guys. So another thing that I wanted to talk about before we got into the breakdown of the Kings and the Lakers game tonight is D'Angelo Russell. And I know that everybody that watched that game last night kind of felt the same way that I did. So I've got this title, D'Lo, Just Hold On. And I say this because I think as Lakers fans, we've seen him for two and a half seasons now, right? Technically. I guess technically, if you do the math, it's about two seasons. I argue with people all the time. I've argued with Brock on this show. I've debated with Casey. I've debated with Roman. I think that D'Angelo Russell is a good fit for this team. I genuinely do. But when he has nights like last night, when he just can't get it going, I immediately, because of, you know, the trauma that I've had watching D'Lo play, I think he's reverting to D'Lo Denver first time around, and it's just all bad. And I get nervous. I sit there every time he was in the game. I was like, come on, come on. And you know it was bad when he passed the ball to Jackson Hayes at the end of the third, and Jackson just gave it back to him. It's like, you have a wide open three. And if you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. D'Lo on the right corner, Jackson Hayes. D'Lo on the right wing, Jackson Hayes in the right corner. D'Lo dishes it off after he receives the ball from a cross court pass. Jack says, give it back. You know, Jack gives it back to D'Lo. D'Lo jacks it up, shoots the three over KD. He makes the shot. But everyone's like, why would you do that? So analytically right now, D'Angelo Russell is two-game sample size. We've got to keep saying that. We've got to keep reiterating it. Two-game sample size. This is overreaction right now. But D'Angelo Russell is 7 points per game, 20% from the three-point line, shooting a 20% field goal. It's not great. It's really not good. However, we've watched D'Lo for two seasons, and we could say for a while last year, D'Lo was one of the better Lakers. And you could say that a big reason why we went to the Western Conference Finals the first time around two seasons ago was because of D'Lo. When you get a guard that can shoot like this, when he gets on a heater and he can give you 10, 12 points in probably a 4 or 5 minute span, you love that. And I can tell, truthfully, I can tell watching the game, I know he wasn't doing it offensively, but you could tell he was thinking about trying to play defense as much as he could. The only problem is he's going up against Kevin Durant. And the Phoenix Suns were making it clear as day that they were switch hunting him. Every time if he got switched on to Devin Booker or Kevin Durant, they were just going right to the hole. And you can see it. He's admitted it. He's not that great of a defender. He has physical limitations that cause him from being the defender that people want him to be. But I can tell, and I believe, I can feel it, I see it, that he's actually trying to do the best that he can. And that says something to me. You know, obviously people are just going to be, well, he's trying as hard as he can and he still can't do it. Well, you're also asking him right now when he gets switch hunted to guard probably two of the top 25 players in the NBA, and D'Lo is a bottom third defender. So there, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? But he's making the effort, and I think that he is going to come back to his average. I genuinely believe that. I don't know if it's going to be tonight. He hasn't had two good games for the beginning of the season. But I wouldn't be surprised if D'Angelo Russell went off for 12, 15 points tonight. Maybe 2 of 4, maybe 50% from three. Maybe he gets another good look at it. So I say to anybody that's watching this podcast, anybody that really, really cares enough to sit here and dissect the information that we here on BLA give you, give him a couple tries. Let him out there. Let's overreact after 25, or let's react after 25 games, right? Let's let D'Lo get back to what we know that he can do. All right. Also, before we preview the Kings-Lakers game, I wanted to shout out Dalton Knecht. Absolute hooper. Dalton Knecht's come in for both games. Obviously played the first game when Bronny James was playing with LeBron, and he came in yesterday. I believe it was beginning of the second. Dalton Knecht right now is a serviceable guard who is not afraid of the big moment and is not afraid of that shot. And honestly, he is not as bad of a defender as people try to make him out to be. Yes, I know he's a rookie. Yes, I know he's a 24-year-old rookie, fresh out of college in Tennessee. But with his size, he doesn't have bad lateral movement. I watched him pick up KD a couple of times. I watched him guard Bradley Beal a few times and contest the shots. Yeah, there was off the top of my head, there's a three that Bradley Beal shot right in Dalton Knecht's face. But the contest was there. You couldn't – it was great defense, better offense. What are you going to do about it? But DK is a serviceable guard, especially right now too. I'm going to say it for the 10th time because we need to keep reiterating it. Two-game sample size. But Max Christie hasn't been playing that well. And Dalton Connect in his – I guess Dalton Connect has been coming in for Max and making a difference. And sometimes they've shared the four together too. I think Max might just be a little bit nervous, but still – dang, I just can't believe how good Dalton's playing. And I just wanted to take a second to bring that up. I'm interested in seeing if he gets any playing time tonight because the Sacramento teams are, or the Sacramento Kings are a very fast team. And I think that they're going to cause some trouble for the Lakers. But because, once again, the beginning segment that we talked about today was the Lakers aren't the same team, I think that the Lakers can get this done tonight. So without further ado, let's preview the game. Kings-Lakers. I went to the last Kings-Lakers game last year, got some pretty hefty tickets because I was sure that AD was going to come after Sabonis, and it just did not happen. We did not beat the Sacramento Kings one time last year, not once. But I got a feeling this time around, AD's coming for blood, and I think that there is going to be a regression to the mean. So Vegas is saying at this moment that the Los Angeles Lakers are a 1.5-point favorite in this game. Assuming that the lineups would stay the same for the Kings' first game versus the Lakers and Kings' first games, I think that the starting lineups are probably going to be the same, right? So based off of those, I've got it. AD obviously going to be guarding Sabonis. I think that Austin Reeves, as we've seen, because there's no Jared Vanderbilt at this particular moment, Austin Reeves has the primary guard or best guard defensive assignment. So Austin Reeves will be guarding De'Aaron Fox. I see Keegan Murray being guarded by Rui. I think that DeRozan is going to be guarded by LeBron, which means that D'Lo is going to have Kevin Huerter. And I think that's probably the best situation right now because Rui's not really that good at chasing around three-point shooting guards. And to be honest with you, Keegan doesn't really move all like that. So I think that they're going to try and hide out D'Lo on Kevin Huerter. I think it'll be a pretty decent thing. However, coming off the bench, you know, they've got the microwave scorer in Malik Monk. Oh, we miss him on the Lakers. So Max Christie, we can assume that Max Christie, we can assume that Dalton Connect, we can assume Gabe Vincent and Jackson Hayes are going to come in. I really think we're going to see a lot of Jackson Hayes tonight. I think that the big lineup is going to be good for us. But they are a fast-moving, running team. They will run you up and down the court. This is one of those times where I think that Jackson Hayes' slender build, even though he is a seven-footer, even though he is 220, 230 soaking wet, because he is smaller, I think he's going to be able to get up and down the floor with the best of them. We're going to need AD to have a big game. I can say that 15 times in a row. We're going to need AD to have a big game. Let me say it again. We're going to need AD to have a big game. I think that it's time, especially the way that he's been playing, first two games. I was nervous buying the tickets for tonight. So I'm on Game Time. You know, if you use Game Time, make sure to put in a Bay LA for your 10% off code one day. Yeah. I get nervous a lot because I think that AD is not going to play in back-to-backs. But after LeBron saying that he wanted to play all 82 and the way that the Lakers have started out, I think they're going to prove a point tonight. And I think it's because a lot of times with injuries barring injury last year, they didn't play a lot of back-to-backs. You know, I mean, sure, AD and LeBron had the best I think it was just AD who had the best turnout of games played in his entire career last year and as a Laker. But still, when it came to those back-to-backs, it wasn't until the end of the season where we really started letting that happen. So I think AD and LeBron have a lot to prove tonight. And I think they're going to come out and say, hey, this is the tempo and this is the culture that we're setting for the Los Angeles Lakers, all backed by J.J. Redick. And I think some good things are going to happen tonight. So my only real worry tonight is De'Aaron Fox. I think he's liable to go off every time he comes to Lakertown. It seems like he just has one of those games. Same with Sabonis. But I think that AD is going to neutralize Sabonis tonight for sure. And I think it's going to be a monster game from him. It's just, how do we stop De'Aaron Fox? A lot of people say, yes, there's no stopping a superstar. It's containing him and making him less efficient, right? So we want him to score 25 points on 25 shots. And I think between Max Christie, Gabe Vincent, and Austin Reeves, I think we're going to be able to make that happen. I'm being optimistic. I think it's going to be a close one. I'm really, really excited to get down there and check out the game. And I think we're going to try to take some content down there too. We're kind of starting this new platform from scratch right now. So I want to try a bunch of different things to see what we can make work. But on that note, I think we can expect a great game tonight. I'm taking away that the Lakers are a different team than they were last year. D'Lo will regress to his typical D'Lo self. Just give him a little bit. Dalton Knecht is an amazingly serviceable rookie. And I got the Lakers going 3-0 tonight. So with that note, I'm going to hop in the shower, get ready for the game, and make sure you like and subscribe here to the Bay LA podcast. And we'll see you after the game. Take care.